Welcome back to the Lacrosse Tribune UW Lacrosse Football Podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew. I am the host of this podcast, as well as the beat reporter for UWL Sports and College Sports here at the Lacrosse Tribune. Guys, just got to be honest with you, this one's going to be a little bit short. This podcast is going to be short today. Not much going on, to be honest. Just not a whole lot to discuss. Oh, wait! I thought of some stuff. Not only are the number 23 Eagles taking on number 10 Whitewater on Saturday at 4 o'clock at UWL, but they're going to be doing so with new co-offensive coordinators. Luke Bankston, the offensive coordinator that was hired in the spring and has been with the team for the first 3 weeks, is no longer with the team. It's a weird situation. I can't say words like dismissed or fired because that's technically not true. He was reassigned in the university by, or that's the terms that were used in the university released. It's definitely a tough and a weird situation. I wrote about it in the Tribune and on lacrossetribune.com, and I really don't have much beyond any of that. That's all I can accurately report at this time, and I can't really say much else outside of that. And it's an unfortunate thing, just the HR rules at lacrosse. Right now, everything's kind of under wraps. They did say that Coach Bankston is reassigned. He's not with the football team right now. And I've made calls and left messages for the HR department. They have not been returned as to this point, recording this Thursday evening. So hopefully we'll know more soon. And this will be something that I continue kind of tracking down throughout the season and just kind of getting the story out to you guys. So we'll get into that in this podcast. Just give you a show rundown here. We're going to talk about the new offensive structure, what UWL is going to be doing on offense now with, you know, their offensive coordinator not being part of the team at the moment. So we'll talk about that, and then we'll also talk about Whitewater's defense, what this new offense needs to do against them, a really, really good unit on that side of the ball. Mike Schmidt said in multiple interviews before this that Whitewater probably has, if not the best, the second or third best defense in Division III football right now. So there's a tough task waiting for the new UWL offense on Saturday. And then we'll also kind of break down a little bit of what UWL has to do to pull off this upset. Yes, it's two ranked teams, but everybody that knows this rivalry knows how it's been going the last 10, 15 years. They know that Whitewater's really controlled it. So how UWL can kind of get some momentum back and finally win a game against these guys, it's going to be a big one. And we'll talk about what needs to happen there. And then we have a little interview with Matt Janis, the defensive coordinator for UWL, and that's where we're going to talk about Whitewater's offense. Obviously led by Cole Wilbur, a three-year starter at quarterback for them, a really good unit as well. Whitewater is just a good team, guys. This is I keep comparing them and talking to people this week. They're kind of like the Yankees. Everyone just admits that, yeah, they're good. They have all the tools necessary to be good, so they should be good. And, you know, in the same sense as like being the Yankees, everybody wants to see him go down. I don't think there'd be too many upset people outside of Whitewater, its alums, if lacrosse is able to pull this win off. But before we get into all that, let's just start with the new offense. I wrote about it in the Lacrosse Tribune going out on Friday. It'll be up on the website on Saturday evening along with this podcast, or excuse me, on Thursday evening along with this podcast. But the basics are this. Isaac Frichte, wide receivers coach, is going to be taking over the play calling duties, and he'll be the de facto offensive coordinator. They're co-offensive coordinators, he and Andrew McGlenn, their offensive line coach. So they'll be collaborating pretty much on everything. What's working, what's not, what plays they should call, other things like that. But Isaac Frichte will be the one that's signaling the plays in, calling them in, all that type of stuff. There are definitely going to be some changes to what they're doing. And this is one of those things where, as a reporter, when you go to practice and you see stuff, you got to kind of keep it under your hat. You're not trying to give away scheme type of stuff. But I can just tell you that when UWL's offense on the field, you're going to see just a little bit of tweaks, some different players in different positions. But it's not like they're going to take the style or the base formations and things like that that they've been doing for basically, you know, 3-4 years now. They're not going to just take all that and throw it away in 1 week. So you're going to see some similar things, but I think you're just going to see a couple of new guys in new positions that are going to give some different looks at Whitewater. And as Mike Schmidt, their head coach, has said a few times this week, they're going to take the biggest swing they have, and that's going to be part of it. But from an overall sense, you're still going to see a lot of Ben Schramsky. To me personally, coming into the conference season, I think he's number one quarterback in the conference. He doesn't have the gaudy numbers that some of them do just because of the way their games have gone and the amount of throws they've had. But to just looking around and seeing some video, I don't see anyone that has the poise and the accuracy that Ben Stramski has in the pocket right now. And that's going to be huge. It's really going to have to come down to how well Ben Stramski can engineer this offense against Whitewater's defense. And that's really the key matchup to in the game, in my mind. But the story that I have up with this podcast really details kind of the nuts and bolts of how the offense is going to run now with the new co-offensive coordinator. So definitely check that one out. But as I mentioned, Whitewater's defense, undisputedly top two, top three defense in this country in Division III. There's not really a particular spot or a position group that you would say is a weakness. They all have really, really talented athletes, and they all have really, really, like, basic is not the right word. It's not basic teams. It's just they play what they're good at, and it's really, really tough to beat that. When you've got the talent that they do on that side of the ball, you can run the same play, same base scheme defensively over and over, and those athletes will eventually make up for the mistakes. The vibe I'm getting from talking to the UWL players and the coaches and everything is that they know there are going to be some tough drives. They know that every mistake they make, Whitewater is going to capitalize on. It's just they need to do the same in reverse. Any mistake, any slip-up Whitewater has, they've got to take advantage of. Defensively, Whitewater has allowed 4 points per game. It lists a bunch of what look like impressive stats off. If they hadn't played a club team in week 3, kind of throws off all your stats when you shut out a club team and beat them 60-whatever-0. So it's really a moot point. But allowing 4 points a game, this defense is as advertised or as good as you think. To me, the biggest strength they have is up front, because not only do they have just good athletes and guys that can stop the run, but they're able to get pressure without blitzing a ton. And to me, that's the sign of a good front seven, a good front four, is when you don't have to bring a ton of pressure and you can allow your secondary and your linebackers to sit in zones and everything like that and be able to really shut down passing games. It's so tough to play against that consistent four-man pressure. It's really going to be on the offensive line of UWL to give Ben Stramski time to operate and find open guys. If it's like the Dickinson State game where Ben's running around trying to make plays with his feet and his arm, it's not probably going to be a good afternoon for UWL. But when we look at what UWL needs to do to win this game, obviously the one that jumps out is turnovers. If you look at the last 2 years where UWL has been really close to beating this Whitewater team, turnovers have really killed them. Especially 2 years ago, there was one really bad interception Tarik Yagi threw over the middle that just kind of broke the back and kind of killed some momentum in the first half. They got it back, they got the lead in the second half. It's just when you give away possessions against a team this good, it's always going to catch up with you, and it's really a no-win situation if you're giving away possessions. So they're going to need to get a turnover on their own. They're going to need to get one momentum swing. Either that's a turnover, a great punt return, great kick return from Jake Samunchak, a guy that can definitely do it. There's going to be need to be one or two plays in each half that really give the Tide over to lacrosse, and then they can go from there. If it's just a line them up, play a regular type of game, really clean on both sides, there's just more talent and more experience on the Whitewater side right now. So they're definitely going to need a couple things that go lacrosse's way for lacrosse to pull this one out. And to me, I think lacrosse needs to control the clock as well. I know offensively they want to move fast, but in my time covering this team, one of the things that's been consistent in their losses is that they've had multiple back-to-back three and outs, or a quarter where the offense just does not get going. And part of that is because they want to go for big plays every once in a while. And if you're not getting them, or you get a little impatient as a play caller or as a quarterback, it kind of just becomes one of those things where 2nd and 10 becomes 3rd and 10, and against great defenses, that's really, really hard to convert. So how they're able to sustain drives, stay patient, get first downs, keep their defense off the field for a while at times is going to be a really big key to this game, because Mike Schmidt talks about all the time in this league, if you give up 3 scores in a row, 3 unanswered scores, it's pretty much impossible to beat a WIC team when you give away momentum like that and you don't get anything going yourself. So sustaining drives, and then they've got to give the kicking game a chance. They have a freshman in Ryan Byrne, freshman kicker, who, in my mind, has the potential to be an all-time guy in WIAC kicking rankings. I mean, this guy has a great leg. We've already seen him kick a game winner, a couple of good field or good distance field goals. So if this does become close in the fourth quarter, lacrosse just has to do well enough on offense to give him a chance to put some points on the board late and possibly give him a lead. But those are just some of the things that I'm seeing right now. I will continue to be chasing down this offensive coordinator stuff and figuring out what's going on there for the long term. So I will keep you updated on that as we go. Continue following lacrossetribune.com. It was really cool to see. I mean, obviously when you break big news like that, it's always going to get some attention. But to see for 2 days straight the top story on the website here on the lacrossetribune.com is one about UWL football. It's an unfortunate thing because someone was, you know, taken, or a job was taken away from somebody, but good for me in that sense. But like I said, we will jump now to an interview with Matt Janis, the UWL defensive coordinator, where we're going to talk about the Whitewater offense. We are here in the office of Matt Janis, the UW lacrosse defensive coordinator, looking ahead to the game against Whitewater, 4 o'clock on Saturday. Coach, obviously it's a big game to start the conference year, I should say, but what's kind of the vibe of this team right now when you got such a great challenge ahead of you on Saturday?
It's a big week, first conference game, and obviously against our rival, really. So it's, you know, the vibe around the team with our guys, it's been focused, been locked in. Obviously we had kind of a week with our bye week to really just kind of focus on us. But you kind of knew what our guys were looking at and looking ahead to. So I'm locked in. A lot of them, you know, you can just see them in and out of our offices kind of all day long asking questions and trying to get as much as we possibly can get done in the week that we have.
For sure. And obviously, you know, a tough challenge every year from Whitewater with the talent they have. But in the last few years, we've seen them be a little bit more two tight end, one running back type of pound the ball. But this year, they're opening up a little bit. Got a lot of wide receivers you got to worry about. What are the challenges you're seeing from this team coming up for Saturday?
Yeah, I think you guys said you kind of hit it on the hammer right there with the skill that they have on the outside. And I think that, you know, obviously a new offensive coordinator coming in this season, but also he's now, you know, he realizes the weapons that he has on the outside, so he's trying to use them. But, you know, they're still extremely talented in the box too. Sure. You know, they're maulers up front. They're big guys up front. And then obviously I think they got, three really good running backs in the backfield. So they're able to do, both things and what they want. And then obviously it all revolves around, you know, their quarterback and Cole. And obviously he's been, you know, now this is his third year starting. He's played in all these different types of games. So, you know, it's a pretty powerful offense with a lot of different weapons. And obviously we got a big challenge ahead of us defensively.
Sure. There's always a lot of connections in these games. Seems like a lot of the conference coaches will bounce around. They'll pop up at certain different places here in the conference. We got one this week for you, Coach Erickson, Rob Erickson, their defensive coordinator, somebody you played for and coached under. I mean, there's no shortage of motivation this week with being at Whitewater and how bad everybody wants to beat these guys, but just, is there any little extra for you and kind of want to get one over on Rob?
Yes. Obviously, you know, like you said, I played for him, worked with him for a little bit, and he's in my part of my wedding. So yes, there's some extra motivation on my end. I know I'm not going up against him, but yes.
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, Rob is probably the exact same way. Yes. He wants to just keep being here. So, yeah. You know, you mentioned that they got maulers up front, some really big guys. It's going to be a challenge for the defensive line overall, but what do you have to do on the defensive line and front seven as a whole to make sure that you're getting pressure on Wilbur in passing situations, which is not an easy thing to do?
No, obviously not an easy thing to do. And up front, you know, like it's a group that we've said, you know, this coming along this whole season of the expectation of what we expect up front with our athletes and firing off the ball. And obviously they know the task that's ahead of them. They're going to get mauled a little bit. They got to get their butts back up, and here we go. And then obviously using our linebacking core and our athleticism that we have there to get into some different packages to try to make him as uncomfortable as we can possibly make him.
Sure. And that, like I mentioned, that's just tough to do because they know that if they give him time, he's got the skill guys around him and the athleticism to make a lot of big plays for him. It's your second full year here at lacrosse as defensive coordinator with Mike. And I know you guys have a great connection personally and do some really good things on the field. But how do you feel like you've grown as a coach and as a person here in, you know, year and a half, 2 years in lacrosse?
Yeah, I think first of all, with Mike and myself, I think we share a lot of similar philosophies, or I share his philosophies that he has. So in terms of whether it be recruiting or whether it would be defensive schemes or how to game plan, I think we're very kind of on the same page and we mesh really well with that. And then I think personality-wise, that helps. We're both big fans of The Office, and we kind of constantly quote something from Michael Scott or Dwight Schrute almost every day, but we're huge fans, and I think our personalities mesh, which I think makes it really for kind of a cool experience with, you know, with our players, with our defensive guys, when we go into recruiting, that we have really similar personalities and we kind of feed off of each other. But then I think if I look at myself as a coach, I can't even begin to describe how much I've grown. I know a lot of that is because of Mike, and just a lot of different things that he brings. I think one of the best things that Mike does for me in my coaching career is that he challenges me. You know, I can't just say something and not be able to back it up.
Sure.
And that he challenges me to see why are you going to do this? What's the reason behind it? What are they doing that you want to run? Whatever it is, that it's just a constant, I can't just say, oh, this sounds good and here we go. That it's got to be, you got to have reasons as to why you want to do certain things. So, I think, if I look at day one from when I started here to now, it's just I've just changed so much as a coach, and like I said, in a really good way, and a lot of that's because of my...
Sure, and I'm sure when you're having to kind of, not defend what you want to do, but just kind of explain it and break it down, then you can also communicate that to your kids more and kind of give them that why behind what you're
more,
trying to do.
Yeah, you give them more, and whatever, it could be recruiting, it could just be recruiting, whatever it is, it's just you have to be ready, I'm challenged, and I feel like if you get comfortable, then it's just... Then you decrease as a coach,
right.
Even as just a person or whatever. That hey, I'm just in my comfort zone the whole time, and I'm just gonna go through it, and I'm just gonna go through the motions. Here we go. Where it's not like that. I'm constantly challenged, and that's good, and it drives me more.
Absolutely. And one of the cool things about this coaching staff is so many of you guys played in this conference. You guys know the grind of it, how it's been for so long. How have you tried to kind of teach these young guys that you have on your defense that? The physicality and how tough these conference games are going to be, even more so probably than some of the non-conference games that they've played in.
Yeah, and I feel like, that's what Mike's done a really good job of as if you kind of look at the way we've scheduled now our non-conference games for this year is, all that's been a prep for this league now.
Sure.
You go down and play a really good Illinois Wesleyan team. We come and play, have to battle now with a really good Dickinson State team out of the NAI, so that we've gotten, our young guys have now really gotten a good taste for what's to come. And obviously, as coaches, it's going to get better now.
Sure.
You got to go harder. You got to all that stuff on that. So,
all right, Coach. Well, like I said, 4:00 Saturday here against Whitewater, a big test for the whole team, but especially for Matt Janis' defense and all the things there. But, Coach, we really appreciate your time, and good luck on Saturday.
Thanks for having me. First podcast.
Yeah, Matt, we got the podcast
pretty
done.
Pretty excited
so.
About that. So.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we will be back on Sunday with a recap of the Whitewater game. But thank you for listening, and we'll be back Sunday.